holding by 2 weeks before Pesach. And as spoke out with David last week, it's just a shame to come into Pesach not knowing anything about the Haggadah. If the first time we see the Haggadah is, at least for that year, is when we come in tired after all the preparations from Pesach, Erev Pesach, and the weeks preceding, and that's the first time we're seeing the Haggadah, we very much minimize our chances of really getting anything out of the Haggadah. So therefore, I want to take tonight to try and see what we can learn about it. Maybe give us a little bit of a focus for the Seder night. We're going to start tonight with Avadim Hayinu. Avadim Hayinu is the response to the Manish Tanah. Avadim Hayinu l'Paro b'Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Egypt. V'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu misham v'yad chazaka v'zorah netuya. And Hashem, our God, brought us out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. V'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu esavoseinu b'Mitzrayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not taken us out of Mitzrayim, Hare anu v'neinu v'nei v'neinu m'shubadim hayinu l'Paro b'Mitzrayim. Us, our children, our children's children, we would all be subjugated to Paro in Mitzrayim. Even if we're all wise, we have a lot of knowledge. We're all understanding. We can apply that knowledge. We can get more knowledge out of that knowledge we have. We're all old. We're all experienced. We all have profound, deep knowledge of the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. It is a mitzvah upon us to recount the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, v'chol amar v'lesaper Yitzias Mitzrayim, harei ze meshubach. The more you talk about it, the better. Why? Why, if we're all wise? Why, if we all have great understanding, great wisdom, why do we have to talk about it? You know it already. Just get on with the meal and that's it, you know? We start late. You deserve to go to bed early. Right, why do we have to talk about it if we know about it already?
Just the after wine also.
What's that?
Just after a couple cups of
wine. Yeah, that's right. After all that wine, so, you know, tired. Just go to sleep. You know it. You're done. Also, that's one question. Question number two. This is what we ended up with last week.
Yeah.
It starts... The format here is a little interesting because it starts off, we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim, and then it goes into, and if Hashem had not taken our forefathers out of Mitzrayim. So who are we talking about? We're talking about us, or we're talking about our forefathers? Alright, should I either say our forefathers were slaves in Egypt, and therefore if he had not taken them out, or should say we were slaves, and if he had not taken us out?
So the answer is, in chronology, it's our forefathers, but it's not, we're not reenacting some past event. It's our own Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Who told you that? Yes. Yes.
Jewish history.
That is the answer. Avadim Hayinu means it wasn't us. We were not personally there. If Hashem had not taken our forefathers out, that's the accurate description. But we have to picture it. We have to be able to come to the recognition and the feeling that we are personally beneficiaries of what Hashem did to our forefathers. Right?
Chazal not just say, beneficiaries. We have a paro in this world, though, right? We have.
Okay,
own.
Good. Even better. It's all true. Yes. On the one hand, the literal Yetzias Mitzrayim that happened 3,000 years ago, we have to be able to make it real for ourselves and come to recognition that we are beneficiaries of that. If they had not been taken out of there, we would still be there. Yes. Moreover, as we'll read about later, you know, V'hisha Amda, right? That Hashem's promise that he made to Avram, that he would take out Avram's children from Mitzrayim, that's the same promise that stands for us for generation to generation, because, right, Lo Echad Bilvad, Amar Elenu Chaoseinu, not only one tried to destroy us, but it happens all the time, all throughout the generations. And yes, we have to be able to realize that It's all part of the same picture. It's all the same history. It's all the same Hashem that did this great act and continues to do this great act of kindness for us. And to bring it home a little more, it doesn't have to be the big events of history that we're talking about. It doesn't have to be the big persecutions and the paros. Every person in their life should be able to find the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everyone has had trouble. Mm-hmm. Everyone has had things that were hard to get out of. That in hindsight, a person can see how Hashem really helped them. We should all be able to find that. That's also part of the night. The night of Pesach, we discussed last week a lot, and we'll continue to discuss because it's really a theme that flows throughout the entire Haggadah, and it's really one of the main themes, one of the main purposes of Seder night, is that we should remember what Hashem did for us, and we should remember that Hashem did it for us in the context of His great love for us, and how he was that time in history, that night when He took us out of Mitzrayim, when He made us free, Hashem established for the first time with us as a people, as a nation, that bond, that relationship that He would have with us forever.
How are we not a nation, though, in Mitzrayim, though? I mean, if there's a class of people who are enslaved...
We were a nation.
So what does it mean?
But we didn't... But Hashem took us to be His nation at that point. It wasn't until then yet. There was a promise to Avram. There was a promise to Yitzchak. There was a promise to Yaakov. They, personally, as people, were very close with Hashem. And Hashem had told them, I'm going to take your children out. But it wasn't... It didn't happen yet. Yetzias Mitzrayim is when Hashem really forged that relationship with us. And it's at that point that we really see Hashem's love for us and the purpose of Seder night, say it once, I'll say it again, is to try and really, really make it real for ourselves and really feel Hashem reaching out to us in order that we can reach back to Him, reach out to Him, and really come to love Him back. That's the purpose of Seder night. To try and reawaken and rekindle our relationship with Hashem. The reason that no matter how smart we are, no matter how knowledgeable we are, we may be the people that are... As the Haggadah relates in the next little section, a story about the great Tanayim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, the great leaders who we learn their Torahs. Their Torah we learn all the time, and they sit up an entire night learning, talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. These are people who have great depth. And their words that we study each of their words. We know there are books and volumes contained in each of their words. And they set up the entire night telling a story. Lesaper means to tell a story. Shabbos heard a little bit about this, right? Doesn't mean to tell deep explanations. It means to tell a story. Why? Because the purpose here is it's not about knowledge. We do even if we're not the greatest sages, we all know the story. The purpose here is to tell it over, to relive it, to think about it, to feel it, and to try and use that as a springboard to launch, to ignite that great fire that is supposed to be our two-way bond, love, with Hashem. And in that way, they knew how to do it best. It's the opposite. The more you know, the deeper you are, the deeper you can get into it. Even as a story. Okay, there's so much to talk about here. There's so a little time. So I'm going to have to do some skipping, and the hopefully if we have time at the end, we'll come back. Let's go to Yochel Meirosh Chodesh. There we go. Now this is a technical piece of the Haggadah. We're not going to get into the technical aspects of it. But long story short, the Haggadah here tells us an interesting thing. It's really a Mishnah. That you might have thought that the mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim should start from Rosh Chodesh. Should start from this past Shabbos. We should start talking about it then. And the Haggadah goes through a set of drushes, learning that from Sukkim, that really, it's only Seder night. That's when the mitzvah applies. Doesn't mean you can't talk about it earlier, but there's no mitzvah. The mitzvah is Seder night. And the way that's expressed, and the way it's really learned out, is that the mitzvah to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim is when you have the matzah and the maror in front of you. That you're supposed to be talking about that story when you have the matzah and the maror in front of you. The idea being, and I hope to come back to this, that the way that the Haggadah is built, the way that the telling over of the story is built, that it's set up as an explanation of those mitzvahs. It's not just a free story, it's not just a floating story by itself. It's a story which is based around explaining the mitzvahs that we do on that night. Namely, matzah, maror, and when appropriate, obviously, the carbon pesach. Not exactly. No, that happens to be a mitzvah tonight. We don't talk about it so much. A different issue. Okay, we'll come back to that concept. That's how it's set up, right? And that's really how the Haggadah starts. Manishtano. We ask about the matzah. We ask about the maror. We ask about the dipping also. It used to be we would ask about the carbon pesach. When we had a carbon pesach. Now we ask about leaning. But the whole... Leaning. I mean leaning. But the whole Seder is based around these things. We'll talk about a little more later about why. Next section starts. The Haggadah now starts going through, this is the main section of what we call Magid, of telling the story. Now it starts really going through our history, all the way back from our very beginning as a people, even before being a people, to Terah, the father of Abraham, all the way through Yetzias Mitzrayim. A little section here that kind of takes it all as one snapshot. Quotes some Sukkim, yes, in Yoshua, that say that originally our forefathers served idols, they were idol worshippers, and now Hashem has brought us close to Him, and He promised, He told Avram that his children would go down to Mitzrayim, and etc. So it was. And it goes through a whole section, going into great detail, the story of our being in Mitzrayim.
Forefathers are talking about Terach before.
It even goes into Terach.
So, was the animal worship.
What's that?
It was the animal worship.
Yes. Now, two questions on just these psukim. The pasuk in Yeshua says that our forefather Terach. Terach, the father of Avram, and the father of Nachor. They lived on the other side of the river, and they served other gods. Number one, why are we being associated with Terach? We don't normally do that. We say, hey, we have three forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't go back further than that. Biologically, we know that we do. But there's a fundamental separation that takes place when Hashem tells Avram to leave Terach, and at that point we no longer associate ourselves with Terach. So why is Terach being mentioned here as part of our ancestry? Two, why mention Nachor? Why does it tell us that Terach was the father of Avram, the father of Nachor? Well, Nachor is not going to be mentioned anymore after this. You know, what is the significance of that? And really, the third question, what happened to Haran? Right? Avram had two brothers, Nachor and Haran. If you're going to mention one, we don't know why he mentions it. Why not mention Haran too? Haran would have seemingly been more appropriate to mention, because Haran at least was the father of Sarah. So it would make sense to mention him in the context of his being the father of Sarah. So the answer to all this is as follows. And this really goes under a much broader question, which is, why do we even start talking about this? Talking about where we come from. The purpose of the night, I thought, was to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does this have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, even if you want to tell me that because Hashem told Avraham that we're going to go down to Mitzrayim, so that's kind of where it all starts, but why go back to Terah? And the answer is, the Gemara talks about this already, is that we're supposed to, on the Seder night, when we talk about the story, we're supposed to be matchil b'shevach, matchil b'gnos, start with our low point, and mesayim b'shevach, and end off at our high point. Start low, end high. So we do that by starting all the way back at our spiritual low, which is Terach. So that we can go all the way up through to our Golas in Mitzrayim, which is our physical low, and also a pretty big spiritual low too, all the way through to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then going to Eretz Yisrael. What's the point of that? Why are we supposed to start with the bad and end up with the good? Anybody know? Have a thought?
You appreciate the good a lot more if you know what came before it.
Excellent, right? So if I'm a rich man, and you are... you're doing okay, you have a house, you can pay your bills, and I give you $1 million, a big gift, you're going to be pretty happy, right? You're going to thank me, you're going to give me a big thank you note, right? You're going to be very appreciative. But if you're a poor man on the street, and I give you the same gift, you are infinitely more indebted to me. And you should feel infinitely more appreciative to me. So we start off in trying to, again, with the same theme, trying to awaken in ourselves this feeling of thankfulness to Hashem, of Hakar Zatov, and of, again, of love to Hashem. We start off at our very lowest point so that, yes, the contrast can help us to recognize the high point. To recognize how great, how much of a difference it made for us what Hashem did. We start with Terach for that reason, yes. That we don't consider ourselves to be related to him anymore. But we have to know that we did come from that. That's where it started. And it's a great favor that Hashem did for us, that we no longer associate ourselves with that.
Although philosophically, we don't come from Terach.
No. But biologically, we have to remember that's where we started, and we could have stayed there. Things could have stayed the same.
Right.
It continues the pasuk. If you want to know what it means that we come from Terach, right, maybe the thing that was just natural for Avraham to become who he did in the house of Terach. No. Look at Nachor. Okay, Nachor would be a lot about. Read about him, about his son Lavan. These were cheaters, these were idol worshippers. The natural path that you would follow staying in Terach's house was to be not the best person. And Avram is his brother as an influence. Was not the best. Haran is not mentioned because Haran doesn't really illustrate that the same way. Because Haran, we know, Haran actually was a little bit on the fence about what he believed. Right? When Avram was going to be sent into the furnace by Nimrod, so Nimrod asked Haran, also, like, you know, what do you think? What God do you believe in? Haran said, well, I'll see. See what happens to Avram. And when Avram came out unscathed, so Haran said, okay, I believe in Hashem. Now, he didn't have enough merit because of how he went about it. He didn't have enough merit to have a miracle performed for him that he should be saved from the fire, but wasn't so bad. And at least he was willing to see the truth when it was staring him in the face. So we don't, talking about him wouldn't necessarily illustrate for us how bad it was where Avram came from and how, of course, great it is that we're taken out of it. Haran's daughter is Sarah. Uh-huh. And his son is Lot, so, you know.
Right.
So, you can go either with that.
That and 500.
Yeah. One of two is not bad, right? What's that?
To the youngest of the three?
There's a big debate about what the ages were. I don't remember, yeah. I don't remember offhand which is which, but there's a big debate about that. Moving right along. Starting from Tzeulamah. All right, that is where we start talking about the actual story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, it's an interesting thing that there are two places in the Torah that talk about the story of Mitzrayim. One is the most logical place you think to find it. It's in Sefer Shmos, where the story unfolds chronologically. The other place, much more obscure, it's in Devarim. In Sefer Devarim, we have the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah of the first fruits that a person who, the first fruits that would come from his tree, would mark them off, and he would take them to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'd be given to the Kohen, and this was done in great fanfare. It was a big ceremony. Part of this mitzvah was the Torah provided a very specific text that you were supposed to go ahead and say when you brought these Bikurim. And this text is a text of thanking Hashem for everything. The idea being that by the Bikurim, you're thanking Hashem for the first fruits, and along with that, we thank Hashem not just for the fruit itself, but for the land that produced it and everything that goes all the way back to what led us to this, to the land. In that text, the Torah goes ahead and describes the slavery in Egypt. It describes Mitzrayim. All these psukim that we read in the Haggadah that talk about what happened in Mitzrayim, they come from that. They come from that perhaps obscure little passage by the myth of Bikurim that, in short, kind of sums up the whole story of Mitzrayim, and we extrapolate upon it. We
And that, is there some kind of relationship
to that? I'm not sure. Bikurim, that's interesting. They are related. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the connection between the mitzvahs, but I hear. Question is, why? Why not take the actual story from Shmos and read that? That's the first place it's found in the Torah. That's the place where it's really spoken out, where the whole story is said in great detail. Why would we choose this little story, this paragraph that we find in Devarim?
Because we don't express thanks till we get to Az Yashir.
Okay.
We don't say thank you to Hashem for taking us out until we get to Az Yashir.
So to read, just rephrase that, the fundamental difference between the story in Shmos And the story as presented in Devarim by the Bikurim, and then in Shmos, it's simply a story. It's just telling us what happened. I mean, obviously, the Torah is always full of depth, and nothing is just a story, but the way it was presented is this is what happened. The whole context in the mitzvah of Bikurim, of us saying it, is we're saying it in thanks to Hashem. We're thanking Hashem for what He did for us then. That's the whole context of it. So that is the appropriate set of stukim to use in saying the story in a way that should bring about our feeling of thanks to Hashem.
It goes back to the moment, we wouldn't have been a nation if you wouldn't have been trying to stop us from becoming a nation. We're trying to start the alphabet.
Right, we go back to that, that's true. Start with Lavan. I'm not going to get into that so much now.
Wait, so but to ask the backwards question, if that's how we get close to Hashem, why isn't that just what's in Shmos?
There are different parts of it, there are different purposes to it. I'm saying that.
No, but fundamentally, the whole purpose is getting close to Hashem. That's the be all and end all.
I mean, if you're going to ask that, so you might as well just ask, like, why, if any other part of the Torah, just have that little. Just have that piece. Every part has its own purpose and its own function of how it helps us get close to Hashem. And it's that. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to really give a full answer, but you know, everybody has its own unique purpose. This purpose, this one specifically, is used as an express. It's not just that's the part of the Torah that helps us get close to Hashem, but those words were supposed to be used as the text, as the expression of that connection. At the end of the Haggadah, not the end, but after all this, oh no, not the end, okay. Before we get to after Magid, one of the big highlights of the Haggadah is Dayenu. Dayenu, we list a number of things that Hashem did for us, that Hashem gave to us. He took time to try him. He did a great miracle. He destroyed their gods. He destroyed their firstborn, gave us their money, crossed the sea, brought us our Sinai, gave us the Torah, etc. And after each thing that we acknowledge Hashem did for us, we said Dayenu, which simply translated means it would have been enough. Now, everyone knows the question, and I should never say that. Just in case. If you didn't know it, you could just pretend you know. What does that mean, it'll be enough? I mean, read some of these. Hashem had brought us to the sea and he hadn't split it for us. It would have been enough. Really? I mean, rather say, okay, it doesn't say that. If he had given us our money and not split the sea, it would have been enough. What does that mean? If he had brought us, to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Really? If he hadn't given us the money, we didn't have money, we would have been in big trouble. A lot of these things, if we didn't have them, either we would have been in big trouble, or, you know, Har Sinai doesn't seem to make so much, wouldn't have been so much benefit, seemingly.
I think it highlights just how important Yetzias Mitzrayim is.
Okay.
Like, it would have been enough to split the sea. But I mean, if that would have been enough, the fact that they don't list Mitzrayim as part of it.
We do list it.
That we left. That we could have stayed in Mitzrayim forever?
Well, the first one is if Hashem had just taken us out of Mitzrayim, that would have been enough.
Right, but I'm saying, right. So what? It wouldn't have been enough if He left us in Mitzrayim forever.
Okay. Okay.
So when you ask this, question, really that would have been enough? So it gives you a baseline for what would not have been enough.
Okay, I hear it being a start of an idea, but at the end of the day, would it really have been enough? Would any of these things, you're saying the inference from it is good, but the actual words that are said...
Would
that
they really have been enough? Well, I think they must be.
Well, if the
otherwise,
first one,
if it's not true, it wouldn't be in there.
Okay, well, you know, that's...
or on the
That's a cop out. That's a cop out.
No, so on the end side of things, what else is not in there? Mashiach. Mashiach. It does not list Mashiach. That would not be enough.
Okay.
So I kind of look at that as the bookend, right? If we had stayed in Mitzrayim forever, that would have not been enough. You don't get a Dayinu for staying in Mitzrayim. For staying in Mitzrayim.
I mean, it's
forever.
Not a question of being enough. It's just a question of not doing anything. I mean, we can't say that would have been enough.
Wouldn't have been doing anything. Wouldn't have been doing anything if they didn't split the sea. If Hashem didn't split the sea, we would have been slaughtered right then and there.
There we say it would have. You can't. There's nothing to say. To say it would have been enough for Hashem to leave us in Mitzrayim. What would mean it would have been enough? Being enough would mean that. In the context of how we actually say it, we say, if you had done this for us and not that, it would have been enough. We would have been happy with the thing you did do,
right?
Despite the fact you didn't do more. Right? So there's no real context for that in saying that we would leave us in Mitzrayim.
But you could say it would have been enough that Yaakov Avinu, that we went down to Mitzrayim in the first place.
Yeah, but we're not thanking Hashem for that. I mean, maybe there's good things that come out of it. Maybe we should. But it's not like a thing that you would put in a song.
Where's the tune?
At the end of the day, it's about it. Right? If Hashem had brought us, given us their money, and not split the sea, we would have been in big trouble. So there are a lot of nice answers. I think the best answer that I personally think ties, it fits into every single line and answers all the questions. Some of them answer some questions, not all of them. I think this answers everything. I'm pretty sure it came from, the Malvim Haggadah right here. We're not saying that it would have been enough if Hashem had done one thing and not the other. We're saying that each and everything that Hashem did for us is reason to thank Him.
On its own?
On its own. We're not saying that it would have been enough if Hashem hadn't done the next thing. We're just saying that each individual step is its own reason to thank Hashem in spite of anything that comes before it and anything that comes after it. In a vacuum, it's enough to thank Hashem. Yes.
So then why do it in a song where it's clearly in sequence of intensity?
Because that's how it starts. Kama Milo's Tobo Samak Malenu. Great thing. As Hashem done. And then at the end we say, after all Dayenu, so this would have been enough, that would have been enough. Alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? Tova kefula mechupela samakam aleinu. Hashem has done many, many repeated things for us. He brought us out of Mitzrayim. He did it with wonders. He did it against their gods. He killed their firstborn. He gave us their money. He split the sea. He brought us across it on dry land. He destroyed our enemies inside of it. He gave us all of our needs in the Midbar. He gave us the Torah, etc. The build-up is, thank you for that. And by the end, you have this huge list. Wow! Look at all these amazing things that Hashem did for us. One of them would be enough to thank Hashem.
Yeah.
How much more so with all of them together? It's exponential, the amount of thanks we should have to Hashem for it. And I really think that this is something that I personally can relate to, and that probably all of us, many of us, can relate to in our lives, is if we look back at an event, or we're in the middle of it, or we're in the middle of a situation. Nothing happens all at once. Everything happens in steps. And to be able to look at each thing and not just say, thank you Hashem for the final product. Thank you Hashem for, that great salvation that you did for me. But to be able to look at all the steps involved and say, wow, look how many steps it took.
Right.
And there were things that were up and that were down, but it was all part of the process. And to be able to recognize Hashem's hand in each and every part of it, and to recognize that it's something worth thanking ourselves for. And it would be even greater if, while we're in it, we could say, look, something, some big move just happened. Some big step was just made. It doesn't mean it's going to get me to the end, right? It's still up in the air. I don't know if it's going to get me to the end. But I see Hashem's involvement in the situation. And thank you just for that. I think that's a big lesson. I want to end off because Rabbi Gamliel tells us that if we went through the Seder, we didn't talk about Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, so we didn't fulfill our obligation. So we were, you know, we missed it if we didn't do that. So we have to get to that. So three things: Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. These are the mitzvahs of the night. Right? Pesach we don't have anymore, but ideally we would have it. Matzah and Maror. What's the idea over here? The idea over here is, I believe, partially based on what Rabbi Harris says over here, is that we're spending the night and we're trying to focus in on this, our relationship with Hashem. We're trying to build it up. And we're trying to build up the emotion, the feeling, and the love. But, you know, where does it go to? How do we express that in the end? Is it just something fuzzy that ends up that's amorphous, that's in the air? The way that relationship has to ultimately be manifest is with Hashem's mitzvahs. It has to always be that in the context of, ultimately, with all the emotion that we need to have, but it has to be an emotion that takes a form. You know, it's not just good enough to be, you know, a Jew in the heart, right, and a Jew in the mind. Our relationship with Hashem ultimately solidified with the action, and that, I believe, goes back to Yechol Rosh Chodesh. The reason that we don't start from Rosh Chodesh and we stand in the peace of night is because the Seder is around the mitzvahs.